Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. The Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing Company. Four coastal locations, Pacific City, Tillamook, Lincoln City, Cannon Beach, and soon to be, coming soon, to a coastal town near you, Rockaway Beach. PelicanBrewing.com. Born at the beach. The Commissioner of College Football joining us every Thursday as he does around 7:40. Josh Pate at Josh Pate CFB, the Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. Catch him on all the other platforms covering the sport in any and every way. Give him a follow on Instagram as well. Those Friday night lines hit different. He gives you all behind the scenes access at his stops. And we got to jump on the Ramen Noodle Express whenever we can. Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So we got a new episode tonight. Now, Dirt noted, Pate, that you on Tuesday regrettably did not discuss Ducks Hoosiers. Not
What's
enough.
Your beef, Pate? Why do you hate my team, man?
And so I want to know, man, you must be saving some big, juicy top 10 action in Autzen Stadium for a Thursday edition of Josh Pate College Football Show tonight.
That's actually what the rundown says. I'm looking at it in front of me, and you verbatim. So I would love to find our leak. Look, here's what I did the other night, and shame on me for only saying three times in the show, I'm going to hit Indiana, Oregon on Thursday, because what people do, I have found, is they look at the timestamps. So they just go to the time of the show where it coincides with what they want to watch. Well, they looked and they looked and they looked, no Indiana, Oregon. This guy's a bum. Let me go call him out on the internet. And I was like, hey, guy, hey, fella, hey, Billy from Bend. I'm going to get to it. I told you I was going to get to it on Thursday. And then I've got certain hosts up there in the Pacific Northwest, and yeah. I certainly don't want to name names.
Sure.
But some people are prone to fanning certain flames, and I feel like that's what we're doing right now.
Well, I think we've learned in the last 2 weeks, if you pick against a team, you clearly hate that team. You hated Texas last week. I don't know how you could have been so wrong about that game, Pate. And then if you don't talk about them on the show, you got to hate them as well. Now, there's a lot of nasty rumors out there that Dan Lanning's opening up Gatorade bottles with two hands and closing the fridge with his hip, which has me a little concerned about my head coach. The beautiful part about you not previewing it on Tuesday, and it was funny to hear you mention it multiple times, and I see the YouTube comments like, hey, where's Oregon, Indiana at? The beautiful part about having you on today is that you haven't previewed the game yet on your show. You will tonight. We're excited to hear the whole thing. But just your initial thought, man, we were just talking about there not being a lot of juice in this game, even though game day is going to be in town. Do you feel the same way, and how much of it being Indiana being the opponent has to play into that?
I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. It plays into it for me. Like, I like to go to at least one Oregon game a year. And, look, I'm putting a lot of stock in USC right now. I'll admit that. But I'm trying to save my trip up there for later in the year. That's why I'm not up there this weekend. Mm. And that's not the way Dan Lanning and his team can afford to look at it. But that's the way I look at it. I think there's a lot of verification that still needs to happen with Indiana. Frankly, I'm going to see a game in Columbia, Missouri, where that has to happen with Missouri as they play Alabama.
Yeah.
Difference is they're at home. Indiana's on the road. Indiana's been really good at really flexing when they can, but then you have the Ohio State game last year, and then you have the Notre Dame game last year. And also the Iowa game this year, everyone thinks about the Illinois game. Well, that wasn't on the road. I think about the Iowa game because that was on the road, and that was a really close game. It sounds like I'm trying to talk myself into Oregon. It's not hard to talk yourself into Oregon. That place is incredible, unless you're the road team to play in. I think that they are a scaling team, like they are an ascension mode type team. But I just want to see Indiana like flex on someone their own size or bigger, which Oregon is, and I want to see them do it on the road. And until I see that, it's not doubting or hating to just kind of have that skeptical viewpoint. If it were Georgia, you know, maybe I'll blindly buy into them. I don't blindly buy into Indiana. And, you know, maybe that's a bygone way of looking at the sport. Okay. Like, I do okay picking these games. I've been a Texas homer and hater in the past 8 days, guys. So I have found a way to wear all hats. I'm going to take – I mean, is this spoiling the show tonight?
Give us the reveal.
I may possibly Hey, maybe I'm taking Oregon straight up, but Indiana plus the points. Maybe I'm doing that. The most cheap double – what is that? Like a bench rider, two-way go. Yeah, whatever that is. That may be what I do tonight.
Look at that.
Ooh, you don't want to offend either fan base.
You got breaking news on the show. Everybody's now happy with Josh Pate.
I do want to ask you, though, on that, because I think that's interesting, like – what is that line, Dirt? Is it 7.5?
7.5, yeah. It's come down in the week.
It's below double digits, right? And Oregon winning by double digits, I don't think shocks any one of the three of us. But if Indiana keeps that within a touchdown and it's like, oh, can they get a stop here? Even if they lose, I think that kind of says something about Indiana. I couldn't find, and you obviously being from the South and being so into the SEC growing up and now in the entire sport, maybe you can come up with one. I can't find an example in my life that is similar, a comp, than what Indiana has become in just a season and a half, and surely probably will be by the end of the year. A program of Indiana's level was the 9 a.m. kick on ESPN that I never literally cared about one time in my entire life growing up.
In front of a quarter full stadium.
And now it is a top 10 tilt that, to your point, is lacking some juice for the obvious reasons. Just, can you think of another comp in your life of a program that's taken a step the way that Cignetti has at Indiana?
Yeah, it's Dan Mullen at Mississippi State.
Okay.
He got them to number one in the country when Dak was there. And I remember vividly, hold on, I'm walking out here to get my breakfast bowl.
Oh, we know. Ooh, we know. Oh, yeah, it's we know. Time. We know the stair sound. Yeah. We know where you're going when you're walking the stairs. We know what's going on.
It's so sad. So that was 2014, I think it was. Mm-hmm. They're number one. Mississippi State's number one in the country. They go to Alabama. Now, it didn't matter that State was number one. They're still a double-digit underdog. But it was only, you know, like 12 or 13, which if you played in Tuscaloosa in those days and you were only – if you were anywhere under a two-touchdown dog, you were legit. And they went in there, and it was a really hard-fought game. I was at the game. Bama ended up winning, but it was like a four-quarter war type game. Physically, they never wore Mississippi State down. And I do think what you're saying has a lot of merit. Like, if we were to turn this game on and Oregon's winning 30-27, I think that would just utterly stun a lot of people that it was even that close. Because I don't think a lot of people who don't get are even aware that, you know, the odds makers' perception of this game is if you were to shave home field off of this point spread, that's what Oregon minus like 4.5, something like that. So they don't perceive there to be a massive gap between these teams, and I think that would surprise a lot of people, which is always why I try and – I know some people don't like the betting talk. That's fine. You don't need to bet on this stuff. I just want to use it to provide proper perspective going into games. Like, I was going to get up this morning, and they asked me, can Missouri pull the upset on Alabama? And I just asked, what are we talking about? The spread's 3. What upset? What are we talking about here? So I kind of similarly think that way about Indiana, Oregon. Like, if Oregon wins this game close, you know as well as I do, they're going to be folks saying, uh-oh, what's wrong with Oregon? Well, nothing. They just won a game.
Yeah. It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Against a team who's ranked in the top 10, who is pretty darn good. I want to ask you, you mentioned having some faith in USC and trying to get out to Autzen for that game later in the year. They got a big one this weekend, man. Lincoln Riley 2.0, they're kind of restarting the way they're building that thing, reinventing the way they're going about trying to focus on defense and recruiting and all of that. They lose on the road at Illinois and give up 500 yards of offense, and they would say defensive injuries are a big part of it, and they're probably not wrong. But now Michigan comes to town, another team that can handle them at the line of scrimmage and ran the ball exclusively last year in their win in Ann Arbor. How big is that one for Lincoln Riley in year 4?
Really, really big, because they lost the Illinois game. So I think I was on with you guys preseason, and I said the Illinois game is the circle game. And it sounds weird if you're not dialed in on Southern Cal, but I am. So I do know that was the circle game. Well, they lost it. So the reason that was the circle game is because if you can't go handle Illinois, you still know, man, you got like games with Michigan coming up, and they're like a Illinois on steroids from a talent profile. And I just really worry the whole Lincoln Riley people thing. Like, if we get to a place, hold on, my Uber's driving over the wrong way. You guys know how this works sometimes. If they get to a place where they lose this, and if they lose it kind of like they did last year, where Michigan ran for 290 on them, what are you talking about? Because here's where I think they are. Where I think they are is they made good personnel moves. They made a good move last year at coordinator, but they can't flip the roster overnight. Now, I am a believer if they were to have patience another year with Riley, he'd get it turned around. But you don't get to ask for patience when you're several years in. And I do get that as well, because he should have made the right hires at the outset and all that. So if they get leaned on here and they get physically dominated, it's going to be a bad look, and there's going to be a lot of talk out there. They'll be in must-win mode the rest of the way. So they got receivers that match up well with Michigan. It's just, do they have time to throw? That's basically it.
Josh Pate, our guest here, Pate State, every Thursday at 7:40. Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. Catch him on all the other platforms covering the sport as well, Bussing with the Boys, etc. On Twitter at Josh Pate CFB, Sunday, Tuesday, and tonight's Thursday edition, which he will talk more about Indiana and Oregon on Instagram as well for Friday Night Lines, the Ramen Noodle Express, and behind the scenes. I want to ask you a college football coach question, but you just, for some reason, listening to you grab the breakfast bowl and moving on, I'm not pocket watching, okay? But we can all be honest that life has gone well for Josh Pate. Do you feel more pressure when people recognize you to tip 20%+ in everything you do?
Oh,
great question. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Yep. One of my nightmares, like some people are scared of drowning. Some people are scared of like falling out of a plane. That's their reoccurring nightmare. My reoccurring nightmare is, not that I've ever been an under-tipper, but I undertip one time in my life, and then that person lets it be known on Twitter, and then till the end of time, I am bearing that brunt. I don't want to be that guy. I can't be that guy. So if anything, I just had this conversation last night with my waiter, no less. So, buddy, it's going to be a good night for you because it was great service. And also, he had recognized me, and I said, yeah, I can't have that. I mean, you could ruin me. Do you know that? You could ruin me right now. What, poisoning your food? No. That would be a cakewalk compared to what you could do online.
Well, the reason I asked that question is because the waiter reached out. He knew he was on Pate State. He listens to Dirt and Sprague from way over
clearly,
there.
Clearly,
so
yeah.
He gave me the info. And he's like, hey, he tips and he feels that pressure.
Say, hey, I saw you on ESPN this morning. It's a $4 tip, dude. What are we doing here? Now, I got a philosophical question for you, Pate. I hear the slander that is keep getting brought up about Dan Lanning from opposing coaches. Should it be slander to be a tummy sleeper? What is your take on tummy sleeping?
Come on.
I think it depends on how your neck feels, how your back feels. Also, do you have sleep apnea issues, that sort of thing? And look, I don't want to delve into Dan Lanning's personal life. That would be a HIPAA violation, or HIPPO violation, masculine form of HIPAA. But I just think that if you understand Dan Lanning, you understand it doesn't matter if you're his best friend and everyone understands it's tongue-in-cheek. That guy gets a little something from us playing around with him on air.
Yeah.
Again, because that's just the way he is. Well, I'm happy to participate. If that's what it takes for Oregon to cover this weekend, if it takes us saying that Lanning needs someone else to open his ketchup bottles for him, if it takes us planting fake texts from Kurt Cignetti, that's all for the greater good. I think that's good for the sport.
Yeah.
I want to ask you before we let you go here, because I know you want to dive into the breakfast bowl. It sounds delicious. What is the scuttlebutt with the coaches circle that you're hearing on all of this Belichick stuff that is clearly flailing and flopping around, and it's kind of only a matter of time before that is going to end? What is kind of the takeaway off the record that you're getting from people?
I think it's done. I don't think it's going to work. No one thought it was going to work. No one thinks it's going to work. It's not working. And they're going to keep losing, by the way. So I don't know what they pull the plug. And is there a mutually agreed upon reduced buyout? That's really what I'm waiting on now.
Is there a bigger gap right now, not to go crazy here, but in your lifetime, is there a bigger gap, though, it feels, than what it takes to be an NFL coach versus what college football currently is with portal boosters and all of that, than having to go from one to the other?
Yes, that's why, like, all these people who keep saying, oh, it's just like the NFL. It's just like the NFL. They were always wrong about that. Sorry, had to say hey to someone right quick. They were always wrong about that. And I don't – look, it's not Bill Belichick's fault. Thank you. It's not Bill Belichick's fault that he took $10 million a year to coach college football because he can't offer himself the job. So it's the fault of those who offered him the job. And when you really understand how that dynamic works, you understand, oh, they went over the AD's head. And it was board of trustee members who have no idea what they're doing, really, when it comes to hiring a coach that hired him just because it's Bill Belichick, and they watched him win a bunch of Super Bowls. So, oh, it must work in college because we heard some people on TV say college is like the NFL now. Well, it's not, and it never was, and it isn't pacing that way. So now they're going to have to get rid of him, but now the pathetic thing is it's Bubba Cunningham, the AD, who's the one who has to – you know, put his name on all the fancy graphics they're putting out at 9:30 on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning. Oh, I believe in him. You know, I never hired him to begin with, but trust me, I believe in him. And everyone knows it's fake. Even everyone up there knows it's fake. Yeah. And it will end. The question is when.
Well, we look forward to the new episode tonight. Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube. He'll dive fully into Oregon, Indiana, Cignetti. Google me. I'll be in Autzen this weekend. We look forward to that top 10 matchup, as we always look forward to our conversations with Josh Pate every Thursday starting at 7:40. Thanks for hopping on with us again, Pate. Enjoy the college football. We look forward to the Ramen Noodle Express, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.